When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
What phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Question: how many Second Captains podcast episodes can you fit into one day? Answer: well, that depends on whether or not you're a World Service member now, doesn't it? We've already got our Monday football pod out now. That's available for everybody, of course. Your regular second free-for-all Monday show is this one right here. But our amazing members will also be treated to a post-match reaction podcast after the big game tonight, Manchester United against Liverpool at Old Trafford. That will be our Tuesday pod, which we'll release as quickly as we can after the final whistle this evening. SecondCaptains.com, if you're not already a member. There are some hot predictions on our Monday football podcast today. I think I might have gone
boring predictions.
I know, Ken. That's
well, you went for 3-2.
I went for 3-2. That was a hot prediction. 3-2 Liverpool. That's Murph went 4-0.
3-0 Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool. And Ken went for the hot score draw. I think it might be one all draw. So you can get listening to that one anyway, and we will put the
other better things we're also said on our football show. We hasten to add.
Colin tweeted asking for a play-by-play breakdown from Ken of Anthony Joshua's post-fight speech today. So we'll see what we can do. I'm sure most people have either seen it or heard a little bit about it. So fought this rematch with Alexander Usyk, which was won on a split decision by Usyk. It was kind of a weird one because immediately afterwards it was all, oh, look at these guys in the ring together. Usyk had gone down to his knees and Joshua joined him and they had this moment. This is before the result was read out. Literally the commentator at one stage said they will be friends forever. Suddenly there's a change in tone after the result is read out. That is, the commentators are still just talking about how great it is for Usyk and for Ukraine, and there's fireworks outside the stadium in the Ukraine colors and all that kind of stuff. Terrific to see, you know, so many bigger issues going on and all that kind of stuff. But at this stage, it seems like they don't initially notice what's actually going on in the ring, which is that Joshua has hurled the belts out, picked up two of the belts anyway, and thrown them out of the ring. Then kind of, well, not even stormed out. He's just looking kind of angry, skulking around the ring. He's then led out of the ring, walks off, heads down, as though he's going to go down to the dressing rooms, turns back, comes back into the ring, then has this weird face-off with Usyk where he explains to Usyk that the skilled boxer should be the winner or something along these lines, and then he grabs a microphone.
Look, if you knew my story, you would understand the passion. I ain't no amateur boxer from 5 years old that was an elite prospect from a youth, bro. I was going to jail. I see some hype little youths in Reading jail. I got bail and I started training my ass off, because if I got sentenced, I wanted to be able to fight. I bust my case. But cousin Benga, where's he at? G14, raise your hand. I'm still in this Usyk, sorry. But it's because the passion we put into this man. Guys, I'm telling you, this guy, to be me tonight, maybe I could have done better. But it shows the levels of hard work he must have put in. So please give him a round of applause as our heavyweight champion of the world. Woo! I'm not a 12-round fighter. Look at me. I'm a new breed of heavyweights. All them heavyweights, Mike Tyson, Sonny Liston, Jack Dempsey. Oh, yeah, you don't throw combinations like Rocky Marciano. Because I ain't 14 stone, that's why. I'm 18 stone, I'm heavy. It's hard work. This guy here is a phenomenal talent. We're going to cheer for him three times. Well, how many belts you got now, bro? Five. Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! And as I said, I was studying Ukraine and all the champions that have come from your amazing country, but I've never been there. But at the same time, what's happening there is, I don't know what's happening, but it's not nice at the end of the day. I've seen it with Lomachenko in his second fight against Orlando. There was unrest in Ukraine, right or wrong. There was issues in Ukraine in your second fight. There was civil war. Vitaly Klitschko, when he faced Danny Williams, civil unrest. Usyk as a champion, please raise your hand. Under them circumstances, he managed to become champion. Champ, champ! Champ, champ! Champ, champ! And I just want to say, Bismillah.
Well, Ken, give Colin what he wants. What's your play-by-play on that one? Well, actually, by definition, it's not a play-by-play, seeing as that would have had to happen
during
live.
Well, I didn't understand what I was seeing there. It seemed maybe Joshua had sort of mapped out a basic victory speech in his head, and that he was just... He then lost the fight, but then decided to give the victory speech anyway because he was sort of, had all this, like, you know, don't forget about this guy, you know, so pointing to Usyk, who was standing there looking a little bemused.
So bemused. The more cheers he was getting, the five cheers that he gets from Joshua and all, and his hand being held up, and this guy had to work so hard to beat me, says Anthony Joshua. Usyk is just standing there going, oh, mate. And by the way, you've already thrown Usyk's ring, belts out of
belts.
The ring and told him that he wasn't really the winner of the fight and all that kind of stuff that was going on. I do feel, you know, I saw the point being made. Look, it's tricky. I feel a little bit sorry for Joshua. You know, it's like he was kind of, I don't know where he was going with some of that. Like when he got to the Ukraine stuff, I was like, oh, I'm just looking at going, oh God, no, stop.
There.
And he nearly did. I think he actually did sort of cop on because it was going on and on, and Lomachenko fought and then Klitschko fought and there was this going on and that going on. And at a certain point, he did actually just cut himself short eventually, if that's not an oxymoron, where he just moved on to one final well done and then managed to get himself out of there. But I have seen it said since then that, you know, we shouldn't expect boxers of all sports people to have to actually do those post-fight speeches. Or
although I don't think anyone did. I mean, he walked away
and then came back to just pick up the mic and start pontificating.
The other thing that made it slightly strange was the kind of lack of response of the crowd to almost everything that he said. You know what I mean? Like he was sort of saying things, and usually when someone is making that type of speech, when they say things, you'll hear sort of the crowd responding.
He got a bit at the start, and then after a while, I think
there was this, like, kind of silence.
It's Usyk's moment. There,
we don't get what's going on here. So,
I don't know though. Just on that point about that I raised myself there about whether or not boxers should even be talking after fighting in these kind of events. I don't know. I mean, like, it probably is unfair to ask them to do that. At the same time, it's, I don't think in all the issues that you could have with a sport like boxing, the words that they have to speak after the 12 rounds of punishment, I think, is kind of missing. You're kind of burying the lead there a little bit, you know. It's like, it's easy to be uncomfortable with the actual nature of the sport, as I sometimes am when I'm watching it, and I don't want to be hypocritical on either, because I still do watch boxing, but it is one of those things at times we've talked about it on the show before. You wonder, like, really, is this something I should be comfortable watching? But I don't feel that uncomfortable necessarily with them having, I don't know, the post-fight interview is just an add-on, which sometimes actually can provide pretty good entertainment as well. Murph?
Yeah, it would be a pretty bizarre place to draw the line. You know, I've got a major problem with this sport that involves multiple subconcussive incidents over the course of 45 minutes. And for that reason, we should stop them doing post-match interviews. The problems go a little deeper than the post-match. I mean, this wasn't even an interview. This was just a kind of a stream of consciousness in a lot of way. And unfortunately, it veered into just a million different conversational cul-de-sacs, basically.
It was funny with Joshua. I think it was the Ruiz fight. I'm almost certain it was the Ruiz fight when he was beaten. And I remember listening to him afterwards, after that fight, and thinking he seems strangely relaxed about the whole thing. It was the opposite of last night. It was just he seemed almost weirdly calm. And this time it was the exact opposite. So, you know, there's no, I guess there's no right way to react to losing a world heavyweight title fight.
There are a number of wrong ones, and that was one of them.
Yeah, I do feel slightly sorry for Anthony Joshua, but we will leave him there to introduce a different character, quite a different character, definitely a very different tone to this interview with Eftem Gidey, the Irish athlete who moved here from Eritrea a number of years back. He is representing Ireland and produced a fantastic run yesterday to finish sixth at the European Championships. Here he is talking to David Gillick after the race.
How did the race go? It was a little bit slow, a little bit fast, but you hung in there. 500 metres to go. You just got dropped a little bit, but you really got up to that point.
I like to challenge the people because the first 5K was comfortable for me. Just this opportunity for me to practice for next time. This is the first time. I'm so grateful for next time to get much better. The important for me, you know, every race I'm improving. That's big deal for me.
Yeah, nice stuff there from Gidey, who produced a great performance. Murph, this guy has quite a backstory.
Yeah, he arrived in Ireland from Eritrea, as you were saying, in 2017 and got selected for a European cross-country team kind of a couple of weeks after his nationality was finalised. But he had spent, I think it was 6 months in total, travelling from Eritrea to Ireland via a series of refugee camps, including quite a spell in Calais as well. Mm. There's a great piece the week he was picked for the Irish European Cross Country Championships by Ian O'Riordan in the Irish Times. And once he arrived, he went to the Lekela Secondary School in Tyrrellstown in West Dublin. From there into Clonleff Harriers, and within a couple of months of arriving in school, he had won an Irish Schools cross country in Waterford, lapped the entire field in May 2018 to win the senior boys 5,000 metres at the Leinster Championships in Santry. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an amazing tale. I mean, obviously, we watch these World Athletics Championships and there are sports tourists there, to use kind of a loaded phrase, you know, athletes that run for countries that they've spent very little time in or no time in. There has been a bit of that going on. But for Gidey, his life in Ireland has been, it's a miracle that he's here, and it's been an amazing kind of journey to last night for him. And, you know, when you consider that he's only 21, I mean, the ceiling for this guy, you know, we don't know where the ceiling is for this kid.
Seems to be.
I mean,
there was a moment you're thinking he could be in with an outside shot of a medal here, which would be absolutely, absolutely mad. But he was dropped then towards the end, still finishing sixth, though, in the 10,000 metres, which is a hell of a
unbelievable
result for him.
Brilliant. Yeah, brilliant performance.
We did get a couple of medals. I really enjoyed the European Championships, I have to say. A couple of medals for Ireland since our final podcast last week. Mark English with a really good bronze in the 800 metres there yesterday. And Ciara McGeehan, as predicted by Carl Denny on the show last week, came away with the medal. She got silver, not a million miles away from pipping the red-hot favourite either.
And Muir goes, and McGeehan's in position to follow her. And now he's got caught a little bit. Now this is going to be very significant and a vindication, exactly as we enter the final lap, of McGeehan's tactics of making sure she covers everything that Laura Muir does. So now a real danger for a medal here. Looks like she's got a lot of ground to make up, because with every stride, Laura Muir has been tracked by Ciara McGeehan. And we've rarely seen this at European level. 5 gold medals for Laura Muir at European level. She's never been challenged like this before. And it's Laura Muir with 200 metres to go. And Ciara McGeehan is in the silver medal position. And surely she's got a medal sewn up here, because the gap back to the pack is 20, 30 metres. Just keep it going. Ciara McGeehan, literally, at this moment, the gold medal is a possibility. Now Ciara's got to make sure that she keeps the momentum going. No lactic acid at this point, Ciara McGeehan. All the way to the line. She's going to get a silver medal. A brilliant, brilliant silver medal for Ciara McGeehan. Muir takes gold, and a wonderful silver for Ciara McGeehan.
That's how they called it on RTE. Ciara McGeehan, who is one of those athletes who's had some amazing highs and some fairly crushing lows, and has always talked quite openly about them. We've had her on the show on a few occasions, and it's just so great that she's back on top now, and so confident as well. She really nearly won that race. You know, there was a moment that you thought she could do. Then just down the home stretch, I kind of felt you could see the moment that she realized it was probably gone, because Muir had just seemed to have pushed ahead too far. And at that stage, she's kind of looking at Muir and she's looking at the big screen, and I presume she's thinking about the people behind her. But that was literally only the last 100 metres. For the rest of it, she was absolutely going for the win. And by going for the win, it turned out, like, it used to really piss me off when I watched the the Mo Farah, a lot of the Mo Farah victories. I don't know if you can think back to those where nobody would race the guy, you know, because they knew they were, they decided that they weren't going to beat him. And he had them all beaten in their heads. So they'd all trot around for a few thousand meters. Then he just turned it on for the last 400 or 600. And everybody knew he was going to be the fastest over that. But nobody wanted to take him on or try to push the pace and stretch things because they were worried then that they would end up with no medal, which, you know, I guess is how a lot of people would think about these things. But I love the way McGeehan just said, no, I'm going to go for gold, and I'm confident enough in where I'm at now and my strength, my conditioning, all that kind of stuff, that even if the gold doesn't happen, I'm not going to be beaten out of the gate for a medal. And she ends up with a really well-deserved silver.
Yeah, so, and well, you know, and Muir is obviously a world-class athlete, and you know, Ciara McGeehan was knackered at the end, at the finish line, but Muir was absolutely spent, and like in ways that was nearly as evocative a scene as Ciara McGeehan's own celebrations at her silver medal. Just
the two of them lying there on the tracks holding hands and all that stuff.
Holding hands, yeah, amazing. But just to see how absolutely goosed, as Mark English would say, Laura Muir was at the finish line.
Yeah,
She gave it a hell of a rattle.
If you're not going to beat the red hot favorite, at least make the red hot favorite absolutely.
Yeah,
earn it. Spend every last ounce. Yeah, earn it. Yeah, basically. Just one note of caution on all this, though. After quite a successful games for Ireland, Cathal Dennehy, who I mentioned earlier, has a nice piece in the Indo. Well, not so much a nice piece, it's a very interesting one about. It's based on the sports minister Jack Chambers, who you can probably imagine is reveling in all the achievements and talking about how great a lot of these achievements have been over the last week. But Carl points out that the system at the moment is unsustainable, that hoping our athletes can compete with professionals while offering amateur levels of support to the coaches. So this is not about the athletes so much as the coaches. He says in gymnastics, rowing, swimming, the coaches of Ireland's best are paid professionals. In athletics, they usually work full-time jobs, then traipse to the track every evening. They've kids, wives, husbands, etc. But why are we expecting our coaches who operate at a world-class level to continue and the only support we offer is a pat on the back? He compares it to the situation in New Zealand, for example, where they apparently have 13 full-time professional athletics coaches who receive a wage of €50,000 per year. After the week we just had, Jack, that's a sorry state of affairs. So what are you going to do about it? That's the Cathal Dennehy piece today, which is worth a read. A listener got in touch with some inspiration for a new installment of
Good Clean Fun with Pat Kenny.
I should be on Pageant Raj.
Anytime the weather turns out like it is today, I think of one song and one song only. It comes from the Lovin' Spoonful from the mid-60s, and it's Summer in the City. Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirty and gritty.
Jesus Christ. There you go. That's it's good clean fun with Pat Kenny.
Yeah. How clean is it though? You know, that the back of his neck is getting dirty and gritty there.
That part is not clean.
And we should all just linger for a moment on the image of Pat Kenny getting dirty and gritty.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a beautiful summer's day. The breeze is stupendous.
Stupendous. Stupendous.
Would this podcast be even more stupendous without ads?
Without ads?
Ads. If so, then join us for daily commercial-free shows at secondcaptains.com for just €5 a month.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not bumping them up. I'm not Irish. I'm just saying my observations, they are amazing. Stupendous.
Murph, are the Dublin Hurlers about to get dirty and gritty under the watchful eye of their new manager?
Wow. Oh, you continue to amaze me. Mm. Well, I don't know how dirty and gritty they're going to get, but it is a very good appointment for the Dublin Hurlers. All-Ireland winning coach, Micheál Donoghue, of course, and there's not that many of those out there. The news was released just like in the last hour or so. And he had not been, his name had not been bandied about in the process until, boom, this news arrives like a bombshell on a Monday afternoon. And he brings basically the exact same backroom team that he won the All-Ireland with.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. That is, I think, it's obviously key, you know, and that was he's one of those managers. He's quite kind of quietly spoken, right? He doesn't come across as like some inter-county managers might, and you kind of, which doesn't mean that he's not a really good manager in his own right, but I think he'd be the type of guy who'd be very much of the, you've got to pick smarter people than yourselves in the backroom positions kind of guy.
Yeah, so Franny Ford is a really highly thought of coach, and he's coming with him. Noel Larkin was the third member of that Galway backroom team in 2017. And the three of them are very good buddies, have worked very closely together for years. They're going to be joined by Shane O'Brien from Coola, who has managed Westmeath and will take charge of the Dublin under-20s, according to Sean Moore in the Irish Times today. And yeah, see, Donoghue is kind of, he's an interesting character because he is... like reserved to the point of not even he's not even surly, but he is just a very reserved character. And for whatever reason, the thinking has coalesced when it comes to the Dublin Hurlers that what they need is a Messiah Anthony Daly type, and Micheál Donoghue is not that at all. But I also think that Dublin hurling is bigger than that now, and this idea that you need to give it to someone like Davy Fitzgerald, someone who'll, you know, a person of that kind of outlook and mindset, where it has to be like, you know, like a bomb exploding in the Dublin dressing room, like a total sea change. I mean, they have a lot of good hurlers. It's actually a case of just harnessing that as opposed to looking for sort of like the miracle cure from outside. So I think that element of it nearly is almost the most interesting, that there's a job of work to be done there, but it doesn't need, you know, a charismatic cult figure to try and coalesce what's going on in Dublin hurling. It actually just needs someone who will continue the work of Matty Kenny, another Galway man who had been in charge there for the last 4 years. So it's a 3-year term. And I saw something very interesting on Twitter today. David Connors of the Tuam Herald was tweeting that Darren Gleeson of Antrim will be the longest serving manager in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship next year, having been appointed in 2019. Henry Shefflin, Joe Fortune, Darry Egan all took charge in 2022. 2023 will be Derek Ling's first year, and it will also now be Micheál Donoghue's first year as well. So after Cody, new brooms everywhere in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship next year.
All right, that's it for today. Thanks, Murph. Thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Owen.
Thank you, Ciarán.
Thanks for listening to the Second Captain's Podcast, which is part of the Acast Creator Network. You can sign up now to the Second Captain's World Service to hear the pods ad-free, and indeed to hear our Manchester United-Liverpool post-match reaction show later tonight. Take care.
Which phone is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.